Welcome to A Cult of Personality at acultofpersonality.net. Thank you for listening.
I'm your host, Greg Kaminsky, and this is A Cult of Personality podcast episode number 109. Featuring an interview with Freya Aswin. Support for A Cult of Personality podcast comes from the subscribers to the A Cult of Personality membership section, as well as the generous listeners from all over the world who clicked the donate button on the occultofpersonality.net website to sponsor this particular episode. Thanks again to Artavan, Steve, Maria, Diane, and Michal from Slovakia. Now, in episode number 109, our guest is Freya Aswin. Freya has been studying, practicing, and teaching the Northern Mysteries for almost 3 decades. Her magical and psychic gifts have long been recognized, and her life's work is focused on the Norse and Germanic pantheons and specializing in the runes. You can find Freya Aswin online at aswin.com. That's aswynn.com. She's definitely outspoken and could be described as an iconoclast, but there's one thing that she's not, and that's boring. So hang on for the ride, and I hope you enjoy our interview. Good evening and welcome to the show, Freya Aswin. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's my pleasure. I've been aware of your work for a few years now and find it certainly fascinating. In an effort to get more familiar with it, I'd like to speak with you about it and your background. Maybe we could start by talking about how you became interested in esoteric subjects and what launched you on the path.
I've always been interested. The first time I was consciously interested was at the age of 4, when I did some experiments with trying to fly, remembering that on the astral I could, but in the world I couldn't. And it started basically from there. I was interested. Well, by the time I was about 8, I had these two blue glass stones I found, and I told my little brother, who was 6, that these were the magic stones from Atlantis, and I started rubbing them together, and as kids do. But you know, this was the kind of stuff I was into as a kid, and well, I paid the price for it. I got knocked up. Yeah. Ending up doing 9 years.
Would you say nine years?
9 years, almost to the day, yes.
Wow.
From the age of 10 to the age of 19.
So it's very difficult upbringing.
Yeah, extremely so. Well, you know, there are, in the old days, one had traditional initiatory methods, like the shamanic vision quest, or in the Volsung saga, running around with the wolves, growing up wild, i.e. being brought up by a dwarf or an animal. And in the 20th century, this was the only kind of initiation, if you like, available for me to go through. Like other people, they get a serious disease and they get cured once they accept their calling from spirit or some other devastating happening in their lives. In my case, it's almost a traditional pattern on this as an archetypal copying, if you like, of certain aspects of the Volsungssaga. The Volsungs, they were ended up separated as twins. One grew up in the wolf, the other we don't know about. And they grew up wild, i.e. they were not civilized. They were feral, if you understand. Siegfried was feral. Siegfried did not grow up in a societal or tribal village structure. He grew up with an old dwarf, a blacksmith. Now, we all know that the blacksmith, in some cases, is a euphemism for shaman or magician anyway, especially in the Germanic traditions.
Mm.
So, you know, I came to terms with that. What I had more problems with, coming to terms with, was the opposition on every level for me getting an education. That was thwarted. That was thwarted totally.
Mm.
They smelled the danger. They knew if they were gonna educate somebody with my abilities, 20 years later, I am back kicking ass.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, sure. Oh, sure, yeah.
So I missed out there. But it's not been a big deal. It fucks me up occasionally when I read stuff from quantum physics because I don't understand any of the figures, but I understand the theory, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah. On the other hand, the mm-hmm. advantage is that my intellect is feral.
Right.
Nobody has put fetters on it in a specific direction.
Mm-hmm. That's a good, interesting point, yeah. So you come at things from a different direction than most people, I think.
Yes, I have no filters, no academic filters or behavioral filters. I live on my wits.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have to say, your About Me page on your website is probably far more in detailed and descriptive than most people I've ever encountered in this area. I think it's interesting. I think it's probably very much related to what you just talked about, you know, in terms
yes.
of, you know, well, approaching things, you know, without filters, without preconceived ideas, and just being totally open.
Yeah.
You studied in the Western esoteric tradition.
Esoteric.
Hardly.
Only the A-mark.
Yeah.
A-mark, so hardly esoteric. But that's what all there was in Holland. There was nothing. Mm-hmm. This is why I moved to England to get involved with Wicca.
Okay.
I found when I was banked up in this really evil borstel, right, in Holland, I found an article about witchcraft. I was 16 at the time, and I read it, and I swore an oath I was going to get involved once I got out.
Mm-hmm.
3 years later, once I got out, I was working in a hospital as a cleaner. I had no education, so I had to take a menial job. And I think a hospital, I don't mind serving, because
right.
it's about the patients. It doesn't
right.
matter whether you do the operations or whether you clean the toilets. You're all serving, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I met there a spiritualist woman, and she introduced me to a spiritualist society, and that was literally within a couple of months when I was free. I was bang, straight with my neck in the occult. And from my first money, I bought 2 books by Diane Fortune, The Secrets of Dr. Taverna and Psychic Self-Defense.
Mm-hmm.
And a month later, when I had a little bit more money, I went back and I bought The Tree of Life by Israel Regardi in Dutch, all in Dutch.
Okay.
You know, I never been to school. I didn't know any English. Much later, after my husband died, I went to the British Library in Amsterdam, taking books and tapes for nothing, free of charge, And I taught myself English that way, and then I left to England. And then I wrote books in it. I've never been taught formally English. My first book has had so many editors, not content-wise, but writing-wise. Mm.
So can you tell us a little bit about your experience with Wicca in England?
Yes, it was strange. It was really strange. On New Year's Eve in 1979, which of course the next day it would be 1980, I went to England for the first time in September 1997. No, 1979. Fuck! Sorry. 1979. That was retrospectively, that was during my first Saturn return.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I went to England and I ended up in Atlantis Bookshop. And Geraldine Beskin remembers me still. And I bought a book, Pagan Rituals, from Magical Child. And I just started practicing these rituals by reading them out on a tape recorder and then leaving spaces to fill in the replies.
Yeah.
Right, because I didn't have anybody around me who spoke English who could do that with me. So this way I did an initiation, a dedication initiation. And then I, very naive, this was all without any knowledge or training, this was just going on pure instinct, yeah. I just called on the goddess, didn't even knew any names, just the goddess. And I swore an oath, I invoked her and I told her she had to get me involved with witchcraft, Wicca, or else I was going to join the Alice Bailey Society because I was fed up to the teeth with the bourgeois of Amok who kept treading me down simply because I grew up in institutions. They refused me initiation 3 times. Mm. They treated me as a lesser. A second class, you know, so fuck them. I wanted out. I wanted to go to England. And, you know, by that time, I was trying to read Magic Theory in Practice with the dictionary. it was cool. I had a picture of Aleister Crowley in my flat in Holland, you know. And so I did that. And then I bought a ticket. And I left for England on the 4th of January. There I bought a book, Alternative London, and there was a meeting at Maxine Sanders' house on a Monday evening. So I went there, and Maxine was watching TV. She was too busy. But I met somebody there, a bloke, and I forgot his name. But anyway, he gave me the home address and phone number of Alexander's. Now, you got to appreciate, I hardly knew any English at the time, right? So I phoned Alex up and I gave them my name, not Fray Yasmin, obviously, my original name. And he said, come to Bexhill, take a taxi to the witch's cottage, and tomorrow evening you will be initiated. Huh? Fine. I took the train to Bexhill, got the taxi, ended up at Alex's place, and Alex liked a drink, right? So he was up the pub, but Betty was there, his high priestess, and she told me that Alex had a message from the inner planes, somebody was going to come over from Holland who had to be initiated, no questions asked. 20 years later, more than 20 years later, 23 years later, I spoke with a man, Tony, And he told me, he was a member of Alex's coven, and he told me that Alex used to have one ritual year for each of the pantheons. You know, Greek, Egyptian, Celtic, Aztec, and at the Yule before the January, when I did the ritual, they did the last of a whole series of Germanic circles and Germanic gods, right? And I turned up, and I got initiated by Jim Bennett. I just went with the flow. Most of it, my English wasn't really good enough to understand, but, you know, fine, I understood enough. And, yeah. Then the same man, Tony, started, as soon as he found out I was Dutch, he started talking about the Reich and about the SS and magic and all that stuff. And I freaked. I freaked. Nazis, you know, I freaked. So, I freaked. Later on, people freaked out thinking I was a Nazi because I'm involved in the Nordic stuff. Now, I'm talking 1918, right? It's that early. So, when he started on about Wotan and the SS and mentioning a certain person in the Texas area, I had absolutely no idea what he was talking about. I was interested in Wicca. Mm-hmm. So I left Alex's house 2 days later. I was on the train, and this, I got the worst, most ferocious period a fortnight before I was due. Now, I don't do sex, so I wasn't getting pregnant or miscarrying, right? So that was a result of the initiation, the blood of the goddess. I felt it instinctively that it was something special, but I didn't actually had studied anything to back up. And this, you may remind me of later in a conversation. This is weird. Alex's initiation, I've taken, say, on the hoof. I moved away, joined the Gatnerian Circle, which I will tell you about. But I've taken more initiations on the hoof. I mean, I was in L.A., I go into a shop. I was in London, in Rome. I got the Santeria initiation. And just, I come to that later in the program. We got, but then I went to one of the festivals, Aquarian Festival, or the Quest Conference, run by Marion Green, another interesting figure. And I met Lionel. And I went home with him, and I stayed with him for 14 years. He was living in a pagan commune house with Jean and Zach, Aquarian Arrow, Salim McMack in the 80s. And I stayed, that lasted about 3 months. Then we found our own place, renting. And then we got involved with a group of people and we bought a house collectively as a housing association. And then, of course, after people left, then we filled it up with our own people, yeah? Occultists, Thelemites, fuck knows what. You know, and I had that house for 14 years. But at that time, I was running a Gatnerian coven as a first degree witch, mind you. And this, again, I asked for my second degree, and Lionel and his mate, Charlie, right, both old men, well in the 50s. Yeah, all right, I'm 62 now. But anyway, to me, they were old blokes, yeah? They said no. I wasn't ready for it. Right. 2 months later, I did another, just an ordinary coven ritual, and during which I grabbed the sword, put it on Charlie's throat, and said, "Now I demand my second degree. I do not ask twice." Week later, they gave it to me. And then there was another Aquarian festival or something like that, and We were asked by Marion Green whether whoever had space to put people up, yeah, from outside London. So this two blokes turn up, and they're into, one of them is into the rooms in as an artist and an academic. And I initiated them in my coven, and this bloke, Russell, he again mentioned the runes. And
sorry about that.
Okay.
Something was banging on the door.
Uh-huh. And he mentioned the runes, which I already knew. Not really the runes, but I knew. My first husband, George, he knew about some things, but he was very quiet, yeah? Mm. But, and everything he wrote down is in German, and it all got lost after his death. But he was the second person after this Tony bloke who talked to me about runes, and he took me along to a woman who wanted to join my coven, and she was reading runes. So she did a rune reading for me, and there were the runes, and she had a piece of paper from a magazine called Prediction, what told her what they were. And I lay my hands on that runes, and it was a complete and utter download. Wow. That was it. Something happened. So this was mine. I mean, I was looking. I tried tarot. Astrology I'm fine with, but it's not quick. You know, somebody, if you want to do a reading, astrology is a bit a lengthy affair and can be a pain in the ass. Whereas the runes, they just give you the answer just like that. No hassle, right? Mm-hmm. So immediately the same night, I started making the runes. I had a set of asswood domino stones, which I scraped off with my chiropody drill. Mm-hmm. And burnt the runes in. And that was my first set of runes. I have lost them in this house. They're probably stolen. They're gone. But I've got other runes. I still do readings. But that was my first set. I made them, consecrated them, and then thought about what they meant. And then I started just writing stuff down as and when it came into my head. That's how I started off. Next thing was I chucked, since I was the high priestess, I chucked all the foreign gods out, instituted the Germanic gods, put the altar in the north, opened the circle from the north, did everything orientated from the north. And of course, by that time, they didn't dare to oppose me because I was under a very powerful influence.
Mm-hmm.
Wodan himself, because that's when it all happened. I made a direct contact with Wodan Odin.
Can you talk? I would love to hear more about that.
This is an adult program. Now, we were in a circle, and there was in a coven, and there was this other woman, I won't mention her name, and she, basically, what happened was, she tried to, she got too liberal with Lionel, and he started getting a hard on. I was mortally offended. I did not know that it is a purely physical reaction. You understand what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, that was it. That was the end. Something broke in me. And then I moved out of the room and went into the cellar and then started calling for Wodan and gradually getting more aggressive with it, writing his name on the wall and making a fucking noise and all that, right? And then I swore an oath of service, and I had myself a Valknut ring made, and I had the mold smashed. I'm the only one with this ring, and it's right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start, I was for years on my own, because in the 80s, I was on my own with all this Norse stuff, because everybody else was into the usual Celtic, Greek, you know, the familiar one. There was no, I was breaking into unfamiliar territory on my fucking own. And what did I got? I was a Nazi, I was a terrorist, I was in the Odinic environment, I was a vicar and a lesbian and a virago press simply because I was a woman. I couldn't win. I was on my own until Kveldulf Gundersen turned up in my life. He introduced me to the trolls and various organizations in the States. And that was, you know, after then, this was after I published my book. Once I got famous, oh yeah, now they all want to know. Mm. If I now go to London, I get a red carpet treatment.
Mm-hmm.
I've written a book, I'm famous. Yeah, but 20, 30 years ago, they didn't want to fucking know when I was starting. Nobody gave me a hand up. There they all are, working with the British national racial soul, if you like, with all this Arthurian and Celtic and Grail stuff. You know, I confronted an high-powered adept, Alan Adams. I was extremely naive. I knew he was something special. And I was walking next to him, and I was a bit worried about starting an occult war. So I said to him, I know you are shoving all this Celtic and Arthurian stuff in the British collective unconscious. I said, yes. I said, well, actually, I intend to do the same for the Saxons, the Frisians, and the Norse. Would this be a problem? And he said, no, but shut up about it and get on with it. So I did.
Mm-hmm.
I felt somehow I had to ask permission because I'm Dutch, I'm not English. And here I am, banging away with the runes and what I then thought was the Dutch gods. As I said, I had no education. Wodan, the Donor, and Freya, I knew. I didn't know it was Odin, Thor, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found out, of course, but not when I started getting involved. Wodan, for me, was the Dutch version, yeah? The old wizard, a bit of a Gandalf figure.
Okay.
That's the Dutch. Yeah, that is what the Dutch people. We don't focus as much on the berserker and the warrior aspect, more of the, you know, a wise old man type.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how I got connected with him. Obviously, some psychological replacement for parents I never had. And I integrated it in that way.
It's fascinating.
I mean, after all, my parents are only gene donors.
Hmm.
As they dismissed me, I dismissed them, and I have a couple of gods for my parents, yeah? Godparents, literally! I'm going to roll the joint. Would that get you in trouble if you say that?
I hope not.
Well, I'm in Spain. It's not illegal here.
It's not illegal where I am technically either, so. But it's not legal. It's just decriminalized, I guess they call it.
Oh, right. Yeah, but here nobody gives a fuck. In this country, everybody grows.
Wow.
I mean, you can't. You need an art of glory to just empty one street.
Jeez.
How are you going to stop people growing in a country in Spain where the weather is constant? Beautiful.
It's a good point.
Best weather in Europe.
Mm.
Yeah. And it keeps people chilled, yeah?
Yeah.
There's, of course, any agro. So. So, any else?
Oh, yeah, lots more.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we were the history, right. Yeah. During that time at the Enclave, I got to know David Tibet. He was the one who brought my first Runtjam track out on his album Swastikas van Noddy. Current 93, you may have heard about Current 93.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I did the Fruits album with Patrick O'Kill, Patrick Legas, and I'm still doing concerts.
Nice.
It came out in 1988. Imagine, you know, now I'm in my 60s. I'm back on stage doing room chants and curses and, you know.
That's awesome. That is really.
At my age, after 20 years, the old bag is called back again. It's my voice, you see. I have, when I invoke, things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just noticing. I don't know if you were, if you realized it when you were telling that story just a minute ago. The cat was here, and he got so riled up. Yeah, and he's usually very calm, and he actually bit me on the hand.
Oh, I am so sorry.
No, it's okay.
I am what I am. I told you, I'm not civilized. I'm not socialized. I'm an outlaw, a wire, a wolf. And it's too old to start. I'm too old to start pretending now.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about something that you mentioned earlier, because you just kind of touched on it, and I think it's definitely something that is it now. Unfortunately, seems like when you talk about the Nordic tradition, there's this this connection with negativity, you know, the whole Nazi connection, all of this stuff, they seems like they appropriated a lot of this stuff and tried to make it their own, and now
there's this
connection now, and people have this idea in their heads, and you've said you've experienced a lot of negativity from it
for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Decades, every talk I gave, Nazi. Every talk. It don't, you know, up until the last one I did for the Fellowship of Voices, when was that? That was about 94, 95. Then shortly before I moved to Scotland. But ever since, no. And I also must say that this is only in England, not in Holland or in America. I've never been asked by an American whether I was a Nazi, you know? But then they weren't occupied by the Germans.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, you know, I came from Holland, and I've always said, if I was born 50 kilometers east of where I was born, and be the same person, but on the other side of the border, yeah, into Germany, I could have never written a book like this. The fact that I was German would have precluded any chance of publication.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I had to be Dutch.
So they have a law against actually publishing any of this material?
No, just a distaste.
Just a distaste for it, huh?
Well, yes, of course. I mean, my book, twice I offered my book, or somebody did on my behalf, to a Dutch publisher for translation, and twice it was rejected.
Now, do you get the same reaction in Scandinavia?
I have no idea. They have never offered me. They never made me an offer.
Okay.
For translation.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know in this country, I don't think it has quite as bad of a connection there. I know, I take a class right now in witchcraft, and the professor is really into the Swedish tradition and Danish and Finland.
Yeah,
and
they don't get asked whether they're Nazis.
Exactly,
yeah, but they weren't banging this shit out in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
My point being that when I started in the 80s, there was nothing. Not in the occult world. And I bridged that I was the first Odinist who was invited to speak at occult conferences like Leeds Gale Symposium, Oxford Golden Dawn Society, and other occult groups, Fellowship of Isis. And gradually it became more and more respectable, especially when I became a representative of what was then the Ring of Truth, an organization which is squeaky clean politically, and they keep it that way as well.
Do you feel like you chose to bring this through, or it chose you, or a combination somehow?
Yes. Yes, I had to bring this through. I'm utterly convinced of that. More even so, because of what David Bett told me, that I got it out, I got it out of my blood. It's blood noses. Because there was nothing, not in Holland, certainly not in Germany. In England, two academic books, Page and Eliot, and that's all there was in 1982 when I started writing my book.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff was just streaming. Later on, I did workshops, and I had a friend there with a tape recorder. And then eventually I got an Amstrad by PCW. We typed it all in on floppies.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually it became a book. Yeah. The information actually flowed down very, very easily. It was almost as if the gods were writing their own stuff. This is only true for Leaves of Yggdrasil. Any further books, even the edition Northern Mysteries and Magic, has other work attached to it, like an upgrade. That I did that was work.
Okay.
But the first draft was not work. It was channeling, if you...
Yeah.
It just flowed.
Okay. So do you think there's... You said how it was, you think, blood gnosis, some sort of genetic connection.
The genetic connection, according to three sources,
mm-hmm.
one in Ireland, one in California, and one in Florida. Three times I worked with... One was Kveldulf Gunderson, the other was Diana Paxton, the other one is a girl called Dottie Blake. Kveldulf is an Odin medium, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Diana Paxton also, they were working sight and possessionary work. And Dorothy was isn't spiritualist medium who got interested in the runes. She lives in Florida. All three independently started giving me messages. I had to worship ancestors. I had to get into the ancestral thing. I can't do it. I cut off from all that. Mm-hmm. After I had that power, I changed my country, my language, my religion, and my name. I changed my identity to Freya Aswin.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go back to being that other person.
Right.
I overrid the original personality was extremely damaged, so I created another one. Now, don't think I'm the biggest adept in the world and that I set this out to do. No, I did not. It was a process, and only now I realize that that's what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and the genetic, to get back to the genetic connection, all three people independently told me that I descended from the Volsungs via Aslaug, and Diana Pax, and I said, yeah, but this is mythology. These people didn't exist. She was possessed by Odin. He said, oh yes, they do. Ask her, the horse, to show you the book on the records of the book on the royal family. So she did. Yeah, well, Aslaug was in there. And this is funny because Aslaug is a figure, an illegitimate daughter of Siegfried and... Yeah, was it Brunhilde or the other one? But anyway, she was smuggled out of the country in a harp, and she ended up being owned by a family as a thrall. And it was basically a similar life as mine. Again, there is a mythological thread that runs through my life. And I'm sure the same is happening in other people's lives if they bother paying attention to it.
That's a very interesting point.
If you look at the gods you worship or the tradition you're working in and you make a study of it, you start recognizing things that operate in your own life, like the numerology and the history, the upbringing, for instance, classical.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's interesting. Yeah, it seems to be the case.
It's like archetypal patterns repeating themselves in individual lives at a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean? Almost like a fractal.
Right.
A small bit, but still containing all the same rules and regulations, principles and powers as the original one.
Yeah, I like the way you put that.
A clone, if you like. Now, of course, I only became aware of most of this in the middle 80s when I started writing my book.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I realized the whole Volsung thing. Hey, but that's how I grew up, you know. And other personal correspondences like 9 November, Wednesday, 1949. It's all Mercurial, Woden, Scorpio, and... You know, I recognize that. And so the knowledge of the runes was, my blood or in my genes, according to David Bett. Before I got in touch with David Bett, I would have put it in the way that I read unconsciously the record. I dug it up from the collective Germanic unconscious.
Okay.
Either way, it just streamed like that.
That's interesting because earlier when we talked, I mentioned this psychologizing of experiences, and you're right, either way.
It doesn't matter. There is no either or.
It doesn't matter.
This is it. Too many people are in the either or. I am into neither or both.
Mm-hmm. In terms of using... runes.
Yeah.
I mean, are you primarily talking about divination or other uses as well?
Well, I do. I can honestly say I'm probably the best in the world when it comes to divination.
Mm-hmm.
Magical practice I have done, but only when my ass is on the line. Not for its own sake.
Right.
I had once this bloke living in the enclave, and he had the hump about something, and he went up to Lionel with a double-headed axe from the reenactment movement, and he said, Lionel, can I have a word? So what I did, later on, he put the axe in front of the temple door, and I put 4 runes on there. Now, I went upstairs, and I said, Lionel, Peter has put an axe in the temple. He said, sling a few runes. He was pissed out of his head. We came back from a coven meeting, a gay coven meeting. Their high priestess conked out, and they had needed me to fill in. But never mind, we came back, and there was this axe in the temple. And I put the runes on it, and the next day he was foaming at the mouth and getting possessed, and he had another door put in his room, and he was shit scared. Basically, I done him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've used the runes that way, but not often. Not often. You know, I have no need
Now, I've seen instances in just in studying it from, I don't know how, what, I think we're talking like high to late Middle Ages, like 14, 1500s, examples of rune sticks where they've got the rune carved in on like a square sided stick. And they're been rubbed with blood, and they're pretty extreme curses for the most part. The ones I've seen is pretty intense stuff.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, very powerful curses.
Where have you seen them? I would be most interested to know this.
Yeah, let me just grab the book here. If you can hang on just a second.
Yes, please.
Yeah, this is the one that the professor who's teaching the class I'm taking, Witchcraft and Magic in the Nordic Middle Ages.
Right, I'm going to buy that after all. I took one look at the price tag and I went, fuck. But
yeah,
if it gives
but it
stuff
doesn't,
like that.
It doesn't, it, I think it just has some examples. But what I can do is actually send you his, I have his presentation from class on PDF.
Oh, yes, please.
So I can send you that instead because I don't think...
Yeah, wonderful.
Most of the book is just like a lot of history of things that are...
Academic waffle.
Totally. I mean,
yeah.
I've learned a lot just because I'm interested in it, but it's not practical, right?
No, I am not... No, I am interested from an occult perspective.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know every detail of when and who was the king and then what. I don't know, I really. I got in the runes and via the runes, I got into the Norse mythology and the man of stuff. But, you know, everybody bases themselves on Scandinavian text. But I based myself on a lot of native folklore from my own country.
Okay.
Holland. You know, like the names of the runes and all that are related. So many of rune of Nordic stuff is still in everyday use in the Dutch language. A lot.
Could you give us some examples of that?
Yes. In Holland, if somebody don't want to eat, an example, then they say, they say, tegen, heug en meug. That is against jugen and mugen, or against the huger and the muger, which is the mind and the memory. It's basically that, you know, it's an expression of somebody tegen heug en meug, naar school, go to school. You understand?
I think so, yeah.
And another one is, in Holland we have the saying that, in England you got the saying, between the devil and the deep.
Yeah.
Or between the rock and a hard place, yeah?
Yeah.
In Holland we have the saying, between two fires, tussen twee vuren. And that is directly from the Grimnismaal, where Odin is strung up between two fires.
Interesting.
And I'm sure if you look at the Scandinavian language, you're going to find similar expressions.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Do you want to speculate as to why you think you were the only one who was working in this tradition and the occult community, why it was so quiet before?
I started... turning my Wiccan coven into a Norse coven. I didn't know about the Heart, a Garth, or the Kindred. Never heard of it. They are still bitching about in the Azathoth scene, running my book down because it is too Wiccan influence. That was the only source I had drawn upon. That and the Western Mysteries and Aleister Crowley and Dine Fortune. Now, they fuckers, those Johnny come lately, they got whole libraries at their disposal. I had fuck all.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Bloom, yeah, but I wasn't going to sink that low. So, yeah, the influences is in there, but that was part of me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I put the Wiccan names to the eightfold wheel of the year because I didn't know the Norse names. I had no access to that kind of information. Not in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the fuckers weren't even born when I was digging up all this. And to be honest, I haven't got the patience to read all that academic waffle. I come straight in from the occult angle.
Mm-hmm. So it was really a pleasure to speak with you. And, you know, I enjoyed it immensely. I think I learned quite a bit.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
And it's nice
to... I think it went well.
I think so. It's nice to speak with you. It's refreshing because, as you said, you know, you're coming from a completely different state of consciousness, and it's nice to talk to you. It's
and
very
please
refreshing.
Please don't think that I'm saying that I am of a superior consciousness and all that Ubermensch bullshit, because that is not what I mean.
Yeah, I didn't get that impression.
No.
You know.
No. Okay.
Just a different place.
Different. Totally different. You know, I had a complete different upbringing, and I resulted in a complete different person. I only realized over the last year by reading stuff about antinomianism that I have actually been one all along, but completely natural. Not because I choose to be like other people who try to be ever so fremd and they're actually bourgeois like fuck. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I knew a person once who also had a very, difficult, traumatic childhood, and she was also gifted.
Yeah, a lot of them are. And this is why on my website I come clean about my background without ego, because I wonder how much more psychically gifted children are there rotting in institutions. I mean, I am a role model for every unwanted child on the planet. Nowadays, of course, they just shove them full of Ritalin.
That's exactly right.
So fuck them.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can learn from my story, they're welcome.
Thank you for sharing it. And thank you for spending your time with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much. I really, really, really enjoyed it.
Me too. It was a pleasure to speak with you, and I hope we can do it again sometime.
Oh, yes.
In the Occult of Personality membership section, Freya Aswin and I continue our conversation, delving even more deeply into the northern deities, the runes, and much, much more. Join us for the continuation of this compelling interview.
Of all nine, pierced by thine spear, and given to Odin, thine self sacrificed to thine self on that ancient tree. No one knows whereof the roots run. None gave thee drink, none gave thee bread. Into the depth thou stared. Thou took up the runes and fell back, screaming, and thy knowledge thou shared. Thou taught me to carve them. Thou taught me to read them. Thou taught me to stain them. Thou taught me to test them. Thou taught me to invoke them. Thou taught me to sacrifice. Thou taught me to send them. Thou taught me to use them. The first one thou taught me, help it's called, and help it gives to people in sorrow and anguish. The second one thou taught me is needed to be healed. The third one thou taught me to fetter my foes and blunt their swords. Theresa! The fourth one thou taught me, if I am fettered by enemies, I know how to sing and be released. The fifth one thou taught me to catch flying arrows sent out in malice. Through its course will be directed. I will stop it if my eyes catch sight of it. Rise on! The sixth one thou taught me, if a man cut evil runes on a sapling tree, I know how to return the curse. Hagala! The seventh thou taught me, if I see a hole ablaze, the flames will not spread to such an extent that I could not help. Such a spell I know how to chant. Isa! The eighth one thou taught me, which is useful to know, should a quarrel break out between kinsmen, I can reconcile them. Vanya! The ninth one thou taught me, if need arises to save my boat, I can lull the wind over the waves and charm the sea to rest. The tenth one thou taught me, if I see phantom demons riding through the sky, I can send them confusion. They lose their senses and their shape. Kena! The 11th thou taught me, if I have to send my friends in battle, I know how to charm spells over their shields, keeping them safe and return. The 12th round thou taught me, if a corpse is hanging on a tree aloft, I know how to cut runes and make the man talk to me. 10. Thou taught me to protect a young warrior, to sprinkle him with water. He will not fall when he goes into battle. Logos! The 14th thou taught me names and numbers of Aesir and Alfar. None but the wise can handle this magic. Mana. The 15th thou taught me, which shot were enchanted before Dalin's door. It gives power to the Aesir, prowess to the Alpha, and foresight to Odin. So be the 16th thou taught me, if I see a man with whom it would please me to play, I can turn his thoughts and touch the heart of any fair-haired man. The 17th thou taught me, if I sing it, the man will be slow to forsake me. Lies in my arms, or to those whom I call brothers.